Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world. Today's stories include, first, a rally at Parliament Hill in Ottawa served as a reminder of China's human rights abuses before the Canadian Prime Minister's trip to Beijing for the APEC summit. While calling for an end to the persecution of Falun Gong, members of Parliament announced that a Canadian Parliament resolution was in the making to condemn China's state-sanctioned organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners of conscience. Second, we are aware of the organ harvesting in China, an immunologist told Falun Gong practitioners in Hanover, Germany. Medical professionals expressed support for a ban on the crimes against humanity in China. Third, in Australia, citizens condemned the crimes too. A city councillor in Sydney exposed a series of slanderous emails aimed to malign the peaceful practice of Falun Gong. Fourth, in London, the art of Jin Shan Ren, Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance, international exhibition attracted 8,500 guests. The spirit of Falun Gong practitioners enduring brutal persecution as depicted in the artworks touched the hearts of many visitors. Last but not least, the Australian artist known for her paintings of kind, happy horses shares how her belief in truthfulness, compassion, forbearance enables her to help spread hope and happiness to viewers of her work. Now for the stories. Canadian Parliament member and deputy leader of the Green Party, Bruce Heyer, called on Prime Minister Stephen Harper before his trip to China to go with a real backbone, a real heart, and a real commitment to protecting the lives of not only the Falun Gong, but all of the Chinese people. MP Heyer made the request with several of his colleagues at a rally in front of Parliament Hill in Ottawa on November 4th, before Prime Minister Harper's APEC trip to China. Other MPs and speakers joined the rally and called upon Harper to help stop the 15-year-long persecution of Falun Gong and call attention to the state-sanctioned organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners in China. On October 22nd, the Parliament Human Rights Committee held a hearing on China's organ harvesting. Later, the host of the program, Current, of CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, Anna Maria Tamonti, interviewed one of the witnesses, Ethan Gutman, author of the book The Slaughter, Mass Killings, Organ Harvesting, and China's Secret Solution to Its Dissident Problem. In the interview, Gutman warned people in the West that going to China in search of organs may lead to innocent persons being killed so that they can have a few years' extension on their lives. Falun Gong practitioners collected signatures on the petition drafted by Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting on October 18th. They received support from local medical professionals in Hanover, the home of Medizinische Hochschule Hanover, one of the best German medical schools. The school plays a leading role in the field of organ transplantation. A local immunologist shared, "I recently went to an organ transplant conference in Mannheim. A medical doctor at the conference who practices Falun Gong gave an excellent talk on the issue of organ harvesting in China. In the talk, detailed evidence was shown, which indicated where the organs came from and how the Chinese government commits genocide against Falun Gong practitioners and Christians for organs. The crimes are even sanctioned by the military." He expressed his appreciation to Falun Gong practitioners for their efforts in bringing this information to the public and encouraged them to keep up the good work. Another local surgeon, who talked to practitioners for a long time, had never heard before about Falun Gong or the persecution in China. However, he did know about organ harvesting. He related an astonishing experience he had. A few years ago, he had a coworker who was an organ transplant surgeon in China. At work one day, the Chinese doctor asked him where the local execution ground was. The question and implications behind it shocked the German surgeons. Falun Gong practitioners around the world have been trying to raise awareness of these crimes in the international community, and they are calling for the cooperation of medical professionals. Kelly Curie, a senior fellow with the Project 2049 Institute, which is a policy think tank in Washington, D.C., echoed this calling during an interview by the program Current from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, the CBC. Curie said at the interview that on this issue, relying on governments to address it is merely a very small part of it. Looking at how medical associations can denounce these practices and take a strong stance, especially the surgeons who would be advising patients about organ transplants. She believes that it is important to educate doctors who are aware of this situation and organizations such as the American Medical Association and the American College of Surgeons. Additionally, the Canadian equivalents of these organizations should be aware of this issue, as should counterparts in European countries and other modern economies. And wherever there are shortages of organs and people who may be driven to transplant tourism. Many medical professionals in the international community, including ones from Hanover, have already taken action to stop the crime in China. At the London 2014 Joint International Congress on Organ Transplants in June, Dr. Nicholas Richter, a surgeon from Hanover specializing in liver and kidney transplants, told Falun Gong practitioners what he and his co-workers did to help with this issue a few years back. "We discussed in our department," he said, "when we had guests from China who wanted to learn liver transplantation at our center in Germany, we discussed it and decided not to cooperate with that." Dr. Richter's department wrote back to the Chinese doctors, refused to train them in liver transplants, and cited the ongoing forced organ harvesting in China. "It is catastrophic and against humanity. I think as Germans, we also have a very strong history in those catastrophes. Nowadays, we have very strong responsibility and a moral duty to look at the world where such things are happening and raise our voices," said Dr. Richter. An October 4th rally in downtown Sydney to support the 179 million Chinese people who have quit the Chinese Communist organizations drew broad support from elected officials, other organizations, and the public. One of the speakers at the rally, Parramatta City Councillor Andrew Wilson, exposed defamatory emails he has received, which aim to slander Falun Gong. Mr. Wilson said at the rally, "When you look at what our friends in Hong Kong, a former British territory, are having to do today, then it makes you think that the least we can do while we are in a great country like Australia is stop and listen for a moment and support our Chinese friends. It is clear who is on the right side of history and the wrong side of history. It is quite clear that people who repress other people are going to suffer judgment. We all believe there is a God or eternal life of some description, and I think these people are going to have a lot of answering to do." He described the malicious emails in detail. "I received an email from a man calling himself William Long. He basically said that the 28 Australians who died in the Malaysian flight MH17 deserved everything they got, and that human beings are terrible. He was saying he was from Falun Dafa, and that was wrong. Falun Dafa has compassion as one of the key tenets of the faith. What a terrible thing for somebody to say at the same time as claiming to be compassionate. Only a person with a very sick mind or trained in communist theory could ever possibly think that. What sort of civilization do we want? A country run by people who will use tragedy for their own evil political gain? Or are we a country that supports democracy and our friends? I'm here today not because I practice Falun Dafa, but because I think all people of good heart should always try and make the world a better place rather than an evil place." While peacefully resisting one of the most brutal persecutions in human history, Falun Gong practitioners spread the beauty of the practice via many ways. The Jen Shanren Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance International Exhibition is one of them. More than 8,500 Londoners and tourists visited the 19-day exhibition at Gallery at OXO, which ended on October 26, 2014. Julia Corner, an elected member of the British Antique Dealers Association, the British Association of Painting's Conservator Restorers, and a couple of artist associations, spoke at the opening ceremony of the exhibition. Ms. Corner said, "I think this exhibition deserves to be advertised as much as possible. Please go out there and pass the word on. These pictures tell such a crucial, vital story, and I have untold admiration for the courage of these artists to put on an exhibition like this. You look at these pictures and they move you to tears, and you see the quiet, silent protest that comes out, and the peace. The way these tortured individuals are depicted in the paintings are able to stand outside their own oppressed bodies and stand up for justice, and look at the grim horror of torture in the face. I am truly touched by what this society tonight, this charity, is doing to wake people up in England to what is actually going on." Local fashion designer Noah commented, "Personally, I really see it as a battle between good and agents of evil. But the strangest thing is the painting of the woman who levitates called Shock. When people see this or witness miracles, they suddenly get the sense that there is something greater than their own power, and that's when things can shift people. There is a saying that comes to mind as well, evil flourishes when good men do nothing. You will become a partner in the crime if you don't stand up and speak. It takes courage, but why are we here if it isn't for our fellow man?" Nora felt pity for the torturers and the people who are hurting the practitioners, because she believes they will carry that, as it's a sin, and they will carry it into the next life, and the next, and the next. On the south bank of the River Thames, the gallery is located in the OXO Tower, the home of a set of design arts and craft shops and the OXO Tower restaurant. It was the second time this year that the exhibition was held at a high-end venue. The first was held on August 6th to 16th, 2014, at IL Botticio, next to Hyde Park and Buckingham Palace Garden. Last but not least, painter of Kind Happy Horses shares her secret. In a small Australian town 8 hours west of Brisbane lives an artist who is known for her paintings of kind happy horses. People say her artwork makes them feel happy. She says the happiness originates from her belief in truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Australian graphic designer and horse and landscape artist Laura Douglas is 34 years old and a mother of two. Although she led a full life with family and social gatherings, Laura said she had always felt she was waiting for something. In 2007, she began to practice Falun Dafa, also known as Falun Gong, and realized that this was that something. Awakening. Laura was a Christian, and she always looked for the true meaning of life. She used to look at the sky and say, "I want to know more. I must know more. There are so many things in the universe that I don't know." Laura met two Falun Dafa practitioners in 2003, and it was the first time she had heard of the practice. 4 years later, she ran into them again. She asked them many questions. The practitioners told her, "You should read the book, Juan Falun, and all your questions will be answered." Taking their advice, she read the book and felt an immediate strong connection with Dafa, like she was returning home. The first time Laura did the exercises, she couldn't help but cry. She said that deep in her heart, she knew this was what she had been waiting for, and that this was the right thing. While reading Juan Falun, Laura felt that her memory was being awakened. She said she is moved to tears every time she reads, quote, "When one's Buddha nature emerges, it will shake the world of 10 directions, unquote. From Lecture 1 of Juan Falun. "I know I'm a kind person, but only after reading Juan Falun did I understand how to eliminate attachments and truly be a good person," said Laura. Quitting drinking alcohol. When Laura read in Juan Falun that drinking wasn't good for a cultivator, she thought, "I'd like to try to quit drinking." She was just about to attend a party. She said to herself, "Okay, this is the last time I'll drink. I'll quit drinking after the party." She got drunk at the party. She lost some of her expensive personal items, and she almost had a fight with someone. Laura said the incident made her truly understand what's written in the book, that drinking alcohol can make one irrational. Recalling the incident, Laura said, "It was a terrible experience. The next day I decided to never drink again. I think it was a good arrangement. It seemed extreme, but it made me realize that drinking alcohol is a disgusting habit. I don't want to go near it. I haven't touched alcohol since." Painting horses. Laura seemed to have a special relationship with horses. She's liked horses since she was a child, but didn't think about painting them. One day, when she went outside to paint, a horse came and stopped in front of her. Since the horse blocked her view of the landscape she was painting, she moved her board and continued painting. However, the horse also moved and again blocked her view. She moved 3 or 4 times. The horse followed and insisted on standing in front of her. Laura thought, "All right, I will paint you." This was the first time she painted a horse. Her work soon attracted the attention of a gallery in Sydney, where she was invited to exhibit. Because of her paintings of horses, she met many people and attended several horse races. She always tells her new friends about Falun Dafa and how important truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is to her art. Laura's work was selected for an exhibition in Brisbane. One gentleman told her, "I've always disliked horses and I'm afraid of them, but I don't know why I feel very happy when I see your paintings of horses." Laura told him, "Perhaps because I was very happy when I was painting them, so the message is inside the paintings. Because I practice Falun Dafa, I know that every art creation carries energy and feeling. When I paint, I pay attention to bringing happiness and positive energy to my work." The man asked, "What if you're in a bad mood?" Laura answered, "Then I look inward and find out why I'm in a bad mood. I adjust my mood before I work. I don't paint with negative feelings." Laura often tells people that in traditional Chinese culture, calligraphers, dancers, and other artists would calm their thoughts before creating their art. They worked on their hearts. Asked what is the biggest change in her artwork after she began cultivating, Laura said, "In the past, my main consciousness was not very predominant when I painted. It was somewhat random. Since cultivating, I create my art knowingly, and I'm clear-minded. My landscapes must be beautiful, and the eyes of the horses I paint must be kind. Exposing persecution through art. The first time she heard about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, Laura was shocked and said, "I must do something to stop it." She uses her artistic skills to expose the persecution. She participated in the preparations for the Art of Jen Shan Ren International Exhibition. Laura's husband in the beginning did not understand why she was participating in the exhibition when she was already very busy. Laura told him, "I have benefited from Falun Dafa so much. It's changed my life. Imagine, if I was in China today, I would be persecuted and my organs might be harvested. How can I not do something?" Her husband's response was, "What can I do to help you?" Laura wishes to use art to help stop these atrocities, help people to find their conscience and kindness, and let the world be filled with truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. That's all we have for you this week. If you like the contents, please go to our website to subscribe to the weekly newsletter, or send your suggestions and feedback to editor@en.minghui.org. Thank you for listening.